Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, here we are. Thank you for tuning into the Leslie Gist Show, and I am your marvelously dashing and charming host, Push Nevada. We are joined here today by Sherrod Grisham, Mr. Sherrod Grisham. He's a coin collector. He's been collecting stamps and coins and U.S. currency and metal for over 25 years. He realized that he could also reach others by sharing the rich tradition of coins and stamp collecting, and so he created the Grisham Coin and Stamp and Metal Museum. He puts on exhibits, presentations. He goes out and promote multicultural education via the use of these stamps and coins and currencies and metals and other multicultural materials. Mr. Grisham, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am.
Good. Tell us a little bit about your project.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you all for having given me this opportunity to share
You're
with
welcome.
your audience.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Yes. I first started out collecting after a situation that I had personally, and that was going to purchase a home for my wife some 30 years ago.
Okay.
And we went to a bank here in the South, and we wanted to borrow about $3,000 to assume a loan to purchase this home. We had $3,000, just needed $3,000 more. So in order to do that, you have to show your net worth. So at that time, I was just a youngster. And so they talked about stocks and bonds and collections, like coin collections, stamp collections, and art collections. At that time, I didn't have anything. Fresh out of college and just trying to work day to day. And so anyway, at the end of the day, she asked me, did I have an insurance policy? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, how much is it worth? I said, $10,000. She says, you're worth more dead than you are alive. So I was insulted, hurt. But what it taught me was that in America, you can't go and borrow money and need it without showing on paper that you don't need it.
Right.
So as a result of that, I began to become a collector of sorts. Mm-hmm. One was coins, one was stamps in the beginning. And then I discovered that all of your history in America is on stamps and is on coins.
Okay.
And so then I began to look at more specifically how do we as African-American people, where is our heritage as relates to these entities?
Mm-hmm.
So stamps had more of us. At the time that I started doing coins, was only two. Booker T. Washington, George Washington Carver.
Do you recall how you got into it, how you actually got into it? Did you already have the coins? Were they given to you?
I started going to shows. I started reading. I started researching. And then I started going to here in my area. They had what you call coin shows and stamp shows.
Right.
And so you would go there, and these professionals would have these coins, and they have the stamps all there, and you could purchase them as a collector. So I would learn how to do that, go buy books, build up my library, all of that. Mm-hmm. So it's about trial and error, and it's also about educating and learning.
So at what point did you start the exhibits, the Grisham exhibits?
I started the exhibits about 10 years ago.
Okay, and you?
After I had inquired some things over time. Mm-hmm. I was just collecting, and I would use some of my stuff back when my children were young. In school, mm-hmm. I'd use some stuff then, going to school and talking about Booker T. Washington on the coin and Carver. Would use those mm-hmm. coins to show my stamps. I would take them and show African-Americans and their contributions, you know, mm-hmm. and would give out bookmarkers with the stamps on them, that kind of thing. So that's what started me when my children were in elementary school.
Okay, so it started with your kids being in the elementary school, because you believe that many African-American children and adults are, quote-unquote, not aware of their African-American history.
Right.
So, okay, go ahead.
And they're not aware of that, not because of them, but it's not taught to them, you see, mm-hmm. In such a way that it's interesting to them.
Okay.
Now, when I went through school, when I was in elementary school and all that, I didn't like history, because all they taught me was that we were the transatlantic slave trade.
Okay.
You see, so that was a turnoff and taught you that everything in Africa was like, well, I grew up with Tarzan and Cheetah, and Cheetah was smarter than the natives in Africa. You see, and as you watch that thing, that was those images are in your head. So when you saw those people, they were scary to you.
Mm-hmm.
They looked like they were backwards and didn't know, and the elephants were smarter than them.
Right. Do you remember?
Go ahead.
Yeah, and I remember Tarzan too. I thought it was interesting that Tarzan controlled the jungle and black folks hadn't figured it out. He could talk to the animal and they couldn't. I thought that was interesting too.
Right.
But
and
do you remember?
Mm-hmm. Cowboys and Indians. You were taught that the Indians were the ones that was wrong and the cowboys were right.
Right.
But the cowboys were wrong. The Indians were there.
Right.
you see, so
do you,
whole transformation. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So is that what it was for you at the point when your kids were young and you decided to? Do you remember the particular moment when you decided to take your exhibits into the school and make it more of an, not just about collecting coins, but an educational crusade? Do you remember that moment?
Yes. I remember that moment because I read some books.
Okay.
I read these books by Jawanzo Kujufu.
Kujufu.
Called
Countering
called
the Conspiracy.
To Destroy Black Boys.
To Destroy Black
Boys,
yeah. I remember that book.
And he said that they are destroyed before they get to the fourth grade.
Yeah.
And I remember
yeah.
vividly because I started going to school. I had a job working in group
mm-hmm.
homes with troubled
uh-huh.
youth, right?
Uh-huh.
I would work second shift. So I was freed up during the hours my boys were in school. So every Wednesday, I went to school with my boys. And I worked in the library. Okay? And I worked in special programs where our boys were. The model.
Wow.
You see? And then but that year was the volunteer of the year.
Okay.
At my son's school. So it was that point. And from that point on, and I'm going to tell you what's interesting, sir. About a month ago, I went to do one of my quilts that you see on my website.
Yes.
If you go to my website and click on that quilt, it was a young lady, young white lady in the quilter shop, and I went to get some material. She said, aren't you Brooks' dad? I said, yeah. Brooks is my son. He was in the elementary class of when I taught about African American history when they was in the fifth grade. This girl remembers. She's a grown person.
Uh-huh.
She remembered that experience when I walked into the store. I didn't know who she
now,
was.
Now, this quilt here, I see the Dred Scott. I see a lot of interesting. You made the quilt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wow. And this is part of your exhibit.
One exhibit. That's one exhibit.
One exhibit. Now, just before we go any further, I want to, we mentioned Jwanza Kunjufu, who did write Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Men. Well, two of them, actually.
And To Be Popular or To Be Smart. He wrote four volumes.
Yes. Now, on that note, on that psychological note, I have a question, because Kunjufu is dealing with the psychology of racism, et cetera. I have a question for you. On your page, there's a slogan that says, "When you know your heritage, you know how great you are." So the question is, are we still healing from the psychological wounds and scars of slavery, Jim Crow, and other historical forms of anti-black terrorism? Are we still there? Because this is the information age, and which means we can know more than we did 20, 30 years ago. But are we still there, where we're still dealing with the whole psychological trauma of self-hate, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, we still are. Some segments of us are. But then let me tell you the other part that we don't do well. When we do well, we don't show that enough. So that the psychological stuff that I talk about that keep hunting us, we don't show enough that's positive on the other end to combat that. That's what the issue is now. The issue is that we are polarized as a people. We have some of our people who have made it and who have given back, but we don't do enough of doing things and showing things that are positive. We have more sitcoms now with us in it, and we're coming. You see, we have all these things that are coming, which are great, but we got to keep doing that. And we got to go into rural areas where people don't have the opportunity, as some folks do. See, because we see this in one area, and that's good and doing well, then everybody say, oh, we're doing good.
Right.
Okay, but then there are other areas that don't have none of that, and they've never been exposed. America is big. And there are some pockets of it that has not been exposed.
Okay.
And, because we did the highways and the transportation that we did, if you ever read the book called The Other America, when you ride up and down the highways, you don't see poverty. You only see poverty if you're riding secondary roads. We don't ride secondary roads when we're coming from New York to Florida.
Right. So there's an illusion created.
That's right. So all the poverty and all of that is not on that thing. So the slogan, out of sight, out of mind, you see, it even where I live out in the country, like, right? But there's people suffering in the city downtown. I don't even go downtown. But I know that happens. You see, just like last night, we had a young man to come in. I do foster care. I'm the supervisor of foster care and adoption. A guy came in. He was homeless, right? He was smelly, man. He was smelly. He was head was packed and all that, right? My staff got all the things. Sherrod, come get him. He need to go out. No, he don't. Because I don't know really who he is. He could be dressed in a disguise.
Right.
So he came in with intelligence. He asked questions. He wasn't talking smart to me. He wasn't disrespecting me. He was invited to the meeting. Sir, you may come in. Got any questions? I answered his questions. He came in. He stayed for 2 hours. He did not disrupt the meeting. Would he smell it? Yeah. But at the same time, he had a right just like everybody else. There might have been some people in there smelling with good perfume and had some issues and criminal records worse than his. But because of the way he was dressed and all that, automatically you want me to put him out. He ain't do nothing for me to put him out.
Yeah, I should note for our listeners that you also work in social welfare, human services.
I've been doing it for 31 years.
Okay.
And that's what drove me to do a lot of what it is that I'm doing.
Okay, because so you've managed to like integrate the whole your coin collection and your educational programs into your life's work, your overall life's work.
Right. So anytime I see a child, anytime I see adults, or if I get an opportunity to share some information about our greatness, I like to do that. Because when you're downtrodden and all that, you got to understand somebody was worse off than you, but they made it. Look at your history. You see.
Now this is very important, because you've experienced a lot, and you've witnessed different generations of African American history, if you will.
Right.
And so maybe you might have a really good perspective on, because earlier you said that we're doing a little, but we're not doing enough.
Right.
So from your experience, what do you, based on what you've seen, just growing up and being a kid yourself up to what's going on now, what do you think we should be concerned with now? Not just education, the obvious. I mean, how do we implement change in the African-American community and get people to be more aware of their heritage, their history and heritage? How do we do it?
I think we have
school?
To do it through schools. We have to do it through churches. Mm-hmm. And we have to do it through civic groups.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and we have to have programming pieces. We got to make it fun for folks.
Okay.
And because folks don't like to come to stuff and it's going to be boring.
Right.
You know?
Right. Now, hold on. On that note, how do you, with your exhibits and your presentation, we know you're going to churches and libraries, et cetera. How do you make it fun? How do you do it?
Well, one of the things, do I use music? I do
okay.
a short lecture, and then I have them involved. For an example, I do like, have you ever heard of scavenger hunts?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, when I set up my exhibit, I talk a little bit, and then I give them the sheet of paper and tell them go look at the exhibit and find those pieces.
Ah,
so
okay.
They look at,
so it's like interactive.
Right. So when they look at the money, right, they
mm-hmm.
say, oh, look, I said, find Bruce first. They see Bruce. I said, Bruce is an African American. He signed money in the 1800s. He signed a note in 1896. Go find the note that he signed in 1896. It's mm-hmm. in the display. So they go in there and find it.
Okay.
Okay. Now I said, now tell me one of the artifacts on there. Where is the monument on there?
Okay.
Okay. What is that monument? The monument of the monument is in D.C. The George Washington Monument is on that silver dollar.
Okay.
Find it. You see, so they get the chance to go around. Then I give them gifts, bookmarkers, the pale
okay.
pens.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing to keep them going. And they're all
– Keep them
they
going. Because they're
going.
Engaged.
Mm-hmm. They engage. So you
now,
talk
now
a little bit. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Well, I wanted to – I'm sorry. Go ahead. They talk.
I say you talk a little bit, and then you let them go, and then you go back and ask them what they learned.
Okay. Okay. One of the things that I thought was particularly interesting, and I want to get to the actual your U.S. currency exhibit, which I find very interesting, is you show and you present facsimiles of different types of U.S. currency from different 19th century. I'm looking at this particular one of Blanche Bruce and Judson Lyons and other African Americans whose names, who worked for the Treasury, and whose names and signatures and images, if you will, appear on this U.S. currency. I didn't know that. I'm sure I'd heard it at some point, but obviously it wasn't important enough for me to remember. And why is that? Why is it that we don't remember this kind of important history?
Well, part of that has to do with there are circles that you go into that you learn.
Mm-hmm.
How I learned this, I didn't learn that until about 2-3 years ago myself.
Okay.
So I ain't trying to act like I knew this for many years.
Right, I understand.
I was at a show, and so because I sell coins and stamps and all that, so I'm at the show with all these Caucasians, right?
Okay.
And I'm the only African American among them.
Okay.
Right. So as I go and sell things, they tell me things.
Ah.
So this particular
okay.
day, the guy said, "Sherrod, did you know that there were African Americans on currencies?" And that there was also an African American who there are two blacks who were named for banks. I said no, so he shows me in the book, right?
Wow!
I said,
yeah.
Get out of here! So I'm all excited mm-hmm. now. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going and I'm trying to inquire these notes,
mm-hmm.
you know. And this guy's helping me find them. So
mm-hmm.
and that's how I found out about those pieces. And a lot of times. Because there are collectors that collect like the paper money, for an example. There's
mm-hmm.
several ways that you can collect paper money. One is by signatures.
Okay.
All right, and on your
Hold on. What do you mean? I mean, you collect the paper money, where you focus and concentrate on the signature. Who's right?
Who signed the money? See, on your money, you have two people that sign your money.
Okay.
Okay. One is the treasurer, just like today. If you pull your dollar bill out right now, you'll see two signatures that go on there. One is the treasurer and the U.S. treasurer. One is the secretary of treasury, who is appointed, both appointed by the president of the United States.
Okay.
All right.
And what do, when you're collecting them by signature, what does that mean? I mean, the older the signature, more the value?
You collect them, and then how long they signed them, how short period they signed them, how many they signed, you know, all that. See, because everything's about, when you're talking about antiques, right, you're talking about rare. How rare is this?
Right.
Okay, so how many of those were done? You know, so there is a book, and I'll talk about my book that's going to be coming out soon.
Okay.
But there is another book that has all of these notes in it, and it does a census on it, right? And census tells you how many that were done at the time of that note being done. And then at the end of that note's life, how many were in existence and how many were found. So you have a book that sort of tells you all that information. Okay, and it's put out by Dr. Don Kelly. Okay, and the name of the encyclopedia is the name. I call it my encyclopedia, but it's actually the National Bank Notes. It's the sixth edition. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that book has all of the national notes that have been printed, majority of them in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before you get to national notes, though, you have what we call Confederate notes and Southern notes.
Right.
And those notes were doing slavery and from that period. Well, what they did, a brother wrote a book in 1996 called Confederate Currency, The Color of Money. Have you ever heard of that?
Okay. No.
Okay. Well, he wrote this book in 96. And it's out of print now. But he wrote it, and a guy came into his shop. He is an artist by trade. His name is John Jones, W. Jones, okay? And John went out throughout the South and parts of the country doing an exhibit off of his book, this book. And what John showed was slaves on Confederate money and then Southern states, every state in the South. If you go to my website, one of the exhibits is on that.
Okay. I see that.
You see that? You see that? Well, that picture of that person is on that money.
Okay.
All right?
There's one guy on a $5 bill or Bank of Lexington picking cotton.
That's right. And he's on the bill.
Yeah, he sure is.
Right.
State of North Carolina.
Now.
Yeah.
The premise of that, and somebody got on me one time and said, Sherrod, when I brought this guy to North Carolina to our museum here, there was another brother. This is how informed we are, some of us are. Was another brother that came on. He got him on TV Now, which is a program here, PBS. Well, one guy came on and said, why is he celebrating the Confederacy? He won't celebrate the Confederacy. Mm-hmm. What he was showing is reparation that we always were fussing about and talking about, right? He showed it on the money. He showed it by showing you slaves working in every vineyard for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that ain't reparation, sir, what is reparation?
Right.
See, that's why I told you, we are psychological. There's another book, The Miseducated Negro. That person was miseducated. Because if he wasn't miseducated, he would have caught on to what this brother was doing. And then there are more white people buy this book than blacks because they feel like this is offensive. This is your living proof that you built the first economy and the foundation of these United States for free in the South.
Right.
Okay. So your children ought to see it. They ought to know it, and they ought to understand. You stand on shoulders that are stronger than you, that didn't have nothing. So you need to read, you need to write, you need to be the best you can. Why? Because of this. See? And we don't push that. We run away from it. Whereas in the Jewish tradition and in the Holocaust, They never let you forget.
That's right.
What has happened to them. I was reading in one of my books, one of the spiritual gifts they talk about in there, right? And they said one of them they were talking about was ministry. Another one they talked about hospitality, right? One of the examples they gave for hospitality was the folks that helped the Jews, save the Jews during the time of Hitler. Okay, I'll give you another example. Why don't we put the Underground Railroad? Wasn't that a network of homes? Wasn't that hospitality? Free and helping out people to be free?
Sure.
See, so when you start looking at things and trying to equate those things, you know, you got to give examples spiritually and otherwise that represent our worldview.
Right, and that's what your mission essentially is about.
That's right. It's not knocking out anybody else's worldview, but you have to understand that we are on equal fronting ground. And then you want to say, okay, we in a colorblind society. No, we not. If we were, then the president of these United States now wouldn't be catching what he's catching.
Right.
You know, his ideas and all that will be received by both hands. They're not. Other presidents before him were. They didn't. I didn't see a whole lot of our party line nose for Bush.
Right.
You see.
So let me ask you this: where do you see your mission on the Grisham Coin Collection, particularly with your with the multicultural education via the use of your stamps? Where do you see it going?
Yeah, okay. My dream is to be able to have quilts that are up in high schools and colleges, universities, and art galleries, and come and discuss these pieces and make people aware.
Okay.
And share with them and then say, you know, some of these things I can't afford. That's the reason why I put them on these quilts and those kinds of things. But just because you can't afford it, you can take pictures and all that. I had a couple of guys that were so generous to me that allowed me to take pictures of their collection. One guy had a National Note collection of North Carolina, which had 50 to 60 some signatures of all of the African American signatures.
Okay.
A guy did the same thing for me for Virginia.
Okay.
See, these guys have been on notes from 1874 all the way to 1913. All these 25 persons. And then Asa Taylor Martin, she signed during Jimmy Carter's administration. She is the only African-American woman that ever signed currency to this date. There were 17 registered treasurers. And of those 17 registered treasurers, four of them were African-Americans. And incidentally, all of those were Republicans.
Okay.
See,
now
go ahead.
Go ahead.
And so because the other thing, people get mixed up about Democrat and Republican, this kind of thing. Well, most of our people before the New Deal were Republicans because of the Emancipator. Whether we like him or didn't like him or none of that, other than that.
Right.
Bottom line, they were Republicans. Because it was either Republican or a Dixiecrat.
Okay.
It wasn't Democrat.
Now, you mentioned something about a book, and I want to get that in. We're running out of time. We actually got less than 3 minutes, and I want you to briefly talk about your book, and I want you to tell us about your website and how people can get in touch with you.
Okay. My book that's going to be coming out hopefully in September, the name of it is called African Americans on U.S. Currency in Numismatic Material, Coins and Metals. What that is about is shows you slaves on Confederate money. That's where it starts.
Okay.
And it ends with Obama's official inauguration medal. So then you will see in the book currency in terms of our contributions to America through money.
Okay.
You'll see the Little Rock Nine, for an example, had their 50th anniversary in 2007. There's a silver dollar that came out in their honor. You'll see Jackie Robinson. When
they
put a color barrel in 1947, in 1997, they put a coin out in his honor. So that's what this is all about.
Okay, is there a title? Is there a name for the book yet?
Yeah, that's, I just named it. The name of it is called African Americans on U.S. Currency and Numismatic Materials, Coin
okay.
and Metal. That's the title. And it's
by okay. And tell us about your website, the address, web address, and how people can check
yeah.
out your exhibit.
Yeah, my website is Gresham's Coin, Stamps, and Metals. And the website address is www.greshamcoins.com.
Okay.
And you can go there and you can see. And I change out things periodically, you know, so every couple of months or so, you come back, you'll see something different because we always
okay.
changing and that kind of thing.
Great,
I
great.
I really appreciate your time, sir, and the opportunity to be able to share with you. Tell Leslie I say hi. I know she's somewhere around there. I appreciate her
yeah.
Sharing with me and the opportunities to be able to share this information with you all.
Okay, thank you for being with us. And on that note, this is the Leslie Gist Show. I'm your marvelous, dashing, charming host, Push Nevada, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.